the Committee on Government Operations to order on Monday, July 21st at 12:35 p.m. in the Frankie Sudo Papa President's Conference Room on the third floor of the Joe Crowley Student Union and on Zoom. Moving on to agenda item one, agenda item two, land acknowledgement. We acknowledge that the University of Nevada, Reno is situated on the traditional homelands of the New Moon, Northern Paiute, Washoe, New Way, Western Shoshone, Nuwu, Southern Paiute peoples. These lands continue to be a gathering place for Indigenous peoples, and we recognize their deep connections to these places. We extend our appreciation for the opportunity to live and learn on their territory. Moving on to agenda item three, roll call. Roll call will be listed by Secretary Johnson.
Chair Terry.
Present.
Senator Saporito.
Present.
Senator Moss.
Present.
Senator Hotelling.
Absent, excused.
Senator Issa.
Absent, excused.
Senator Bolander.
Present.
Senator Vila.
Present.
All right, quorum is present.
Thank you, Secretary Johnson.
Thank you.
Moving on to agenda item four, public comment. Is there any public comment at this time? Seeing none, we'll move to agenda item five, adoption of minutes. Seeing that there's no minutes to adopt, we will move on to agenda item six, reports. I do have one report that was sent in, but before I read that out, are there any senators that would like to report at this time? All right. I'll just go ahead and read the report that Parliamentarian Issa sent me. Chair Terry and members of the committee, I regret that I am unable to attend today's meeting as I will be at Reno City Hall to explore the city's civic learning and democratic engagement initiatives on behalf of the Committee on DCE. In the course of my review of Titles 3, 4, and 5 of the SAS, I identified several areas of concern related to grammar, ambiguity, and general vagueness, particularly regarding judicial procedure and internship program structure. However, because these issues are related to language and clarity rather than formatting or other non-substantial areas, they fall outside of the intended scope of the SAS audit, and I'm not recommending changes at this time. If you or members of the committee would like additional information on any of these findings for potential future legislation or clarification, please feel free to reach out to me directly. I would be more than happy to share detailed notes and suggestions upon request. Before concluding, I also want to offer a brief statement in support of SB 93, a bill to establish ASUN standard meeting procedures, which I co-authored with Speaker Pro Tempore Moss. This bill simply codifies what is already standard practice in ASUN meetings and enables the Director of Ethics and Compliance and not Nevada Open Meeting Law to serve as the enforcement mechanism. ASUN officers cannot enforce NRS, but they can enforce internal law. This bill ensures accountability not by changing what we do, but by placing it under our own jurisdiction where it belongs. I'm sure Speaker Pro Tempore Moss will have much more to say in lieu of my absence. Thank you for your time and leadership. Respectfully, Senator Jason Issa. Okay. Before I move on, are there any other reports? All right. Seeing none, we will... I'm actually going to skip to agenda item 8, new business, and we'll see SB 93, an act to establish ASUN open meeting procedures. Before we begin, we will move into a short presentation from the authors and our Speaker Pro Tempore Moss. Speaker Pro Tempore Moss, the floor is yours.
Thank you, Chair Terry. Thank you, everybody, for being here. This is a bill that me and Parliamentarian Issa co-authored together. This basically just establishes in the SAS a set of standard meeting procedures that are following that of which Nevada has, which is open meeting law. Of course, we don't want to establish open meeting law in our own SAS, but this is our own version of it so that it can be enforceable and that we can put open meeting procedures or standard meeting procedures in place that help uphold transparency, uphold us being close to the students and such. It's basically the same procedures as Senator Issa said, the same procedures as we've just been carrying out recently. We just want to put it in writing in the SAS to ensure that it is enforceable by our own means instead of being unenforceable like the issue we had to deal with earlier this session. With that, I'll just go into questions because Jason hit everything pretty much.
Right. Are there any questions for Speaker Pro Tempore Moss? All right. Before we move into discussion, I do just want to note one thing. It is already required of ASUN and all of its bodies, Senate committees, and exec departments to follow Nevada open meeting law. So this piece really just makes it enforceable for us since we can't enforce it ourselves. So I highly encourage you to pass this piece in this meeting. With that, I will open discussion. Is there any senators that would like to start discussion on this piece? Senator Boland.
All right. First thing, in Title 4, Chapter 401, I don't know if there's anything we can do about this, but I just think Section 6 is real wordy. There is hereby authorized to be appropriated such terms as are necessary to carry out the provisions of this chapter, which is basically, you know, just saying, like, we're allowed to pay these guys. And I don't know if there's anything specific we can do to, like, simplify that statement, because I just don't think it needs to be that complicated. Title 4, Chapter 402...
1 second, Senator Boelander. We're in discussion for SB 93 for the ASUN standard meeting procedures. Is this regarding that, or were you going into the SAS audit?
Oh, I was going into the SAS audit.
All right, no worries.
Excuse me, I'm sorry.
All good. Is there any discussion on SB 93?
Oh, my God.
Meeting procedures.
My bad, guys. No, the bill looks great, guys.
Okay. Is there any other discussion on this piece? All right. Seeing none, we will end discussion and move into a vote. Those in favor of... one second. Is it a motion to favorably recommend? Right, okay. I am seeking a motion to favorably recommend SB 93 and act to establish ASUN open meeting procedures. So moved by Senator Moss. Is there a second?
Second.
Second from Senator Vila. All those in favor of this motion, please say aye.
Aye.
All right.
Aye.
All those opposed, please say nay. Any abstentions, oi? Okay. Hearing the chamber, these ayes have it, and this motion carries. Right. All right. Moving on to, we'll go ahead and move back up to agenda item 7, old business. Line item A, audit of the SAS, introduction in titles 1 and 2. Before we move on to the next sections of the SAS, is there any senators that have anything else they would like to report from that, from those sections? Seeing none, then we will move to agenda item 8, new business. Item B, audit of the SAS titles 3, 4, and 5. Senator Boelander, since you already started, would you like to go ahead and start us off with your findings for titles 3, 4, and 5?
Yeah, I got you. Okay. Yeah, so picking up title 4, section 401. Section 6 is very wordy. There is hereby authorized to be appropriated such terms as are necessary to carry out the provisions of this chapter. There's got to be a way we can simplify that down. Title 4, Chapter 402, Section 4, talking about work hours. I don't know if this is something we can put in there, but maybe we could talk about, you know, the meeting must end at a certain time, because I know if we're in the Senate chambers, we have to get, or we get kicked out at what, 10:30? I don't know if that's, you know, something specific we can put in there, but I think that pertains to work hours. And then Section 6, employee requirements. There is an extra space in between I-9. And also just wondering if we're able to vie for photocopies for supporting documents of I-9. Because I know last year when I was a club commissioner, I needed to get my physical passport from Vegas to get paid. And I missed out on, like, a month of payment. And the only reason I was able to get it so quick is because I met up with my family in Wisconsin for a football game, and then they brought it to me, and I brought it back. So I don't know if that's, like, a resolution we got to write for that, but...
Does the body give permission to Director Aguilar Herrera to speak? Director Herrera?
Thank you. Senator Bowling, can you clarify the part where you're talking about your passport? I know that that's a university requirement, so just want to make sure that I understand your question and probably answer it.
Yes, so I was required to bring my physical passport along with a proof of residence. So I think I brought one of my mail stubs from ATO, or I brought, maybe it was just my physical state ID, but I could not bring just a photocopy of my passport. I had to have my physical passport in hand. And I mean, I just don't really get the huge deal of, you know, a resident of Nevada. And I mean, if it helps our students get paid quicker, I just don't see the point in, you know, having the necessity for a physical passport.
All right. So that is a university hiring through I-9 requirements, that the actual hard copy of the passport has to be provided. Workaround that we found out that works well, especially for our officers living in Las Vegas, is they can now work with the office down there and provide those documents in person. Which
is that the one off 215 and Russell?
It might be. I'll have to confirm for you. But they can deliver those documents, present those documents at the Vegas office, and it counts as much as if they were here, which expedites that kind of process.
Okay, gotcha. When was that a thing? When was that established?
Late summer.
Summer. Oh, last summer.
Yeah.
Oh, well, that would have been good to know. Maybe we could put something like that instead of that. People from out of town, I mean, or at least from Vegas, can deliver it to the UNR office or wherever else there's a UNR office in their respective city.
That one may advise to work with the accounting office, so the accounting office could coordinate with HR, both here in Reno and Las Vegas.
Okay. Yep, and that's all I got.
Did you have anything else to report for titles 3, 4, and 5, Senator Bolander?
No, that was it.
All righty. Then we will move on to Senator Saperito.
Hey guys, so similar to what Senator Issa was saying, there's a lot of issues regarding like grammar, structure, applying like universal forms of communication regarding like listings. I believe Senator Issa also mentioned this in our last meeting. I don't know if it would be specifically for this audit, but I think there's either a misinterpretation or two different definitions for the conflicts of interest within the audit or within the SAS. Like I believe conflict of interest within the Senate table is enforced differently from how it's specifically mentioned within Section 3. If there's two different definitions for the two different branches, that would make sense. It kind of seems like there's two different definitions. That's just a question for clarity for anyone, like in Zoom, in person. Then in Section 4, I went back to the candidates packet of this year, and I was comparing the compensation rates for the levels of students. It kind of looked off in Section 402. I mean, in Section 401, it states level 1, 2, and 3, 8,800, 7,000, like president, vice president. And then in Section 402, it states level 1's $7,000 for an appointed officer. May just be confused on that terminology. But even regarding to like a senator's an appointed officer, and it says for the special, or if you're a chair of a committee, you receive level 4 compensation too. But then once you go and look into level 4 compensation, that's $1,500. We get a $500 bonus. And then it shows you all the exceptions for the level 4. So I think you should just make a level 5 at that point, considering around 60% of the members within level 4 get paid 500 max instead of the 1500 that's shown previously. That's pretty much most of the information I found that I thought we could help elaborate on.
I'll just put this out to the body to decide. I'm unsure if adding a level 5 is something that, you know, we could do in this audit. You know, it doesn't really change how we're doing anything. It really just clarifies. But it is a little bit more of a significant change, since we're adding, we're adding a good amount of language, adding a level 5 pay structure. So I'm just curious what the rest of the committee feels regarding that, if that's something we should have in this audit, or if we should just push that onto a regular bill for later in the session. Senator Moss?
I think given the scope of this audit, I think for the creation of a level 5 pay structure, that would need to be a bill rather than a piece of this audit, simply because it's kind of a major change to the pay scale, and especially since it'll have to be implemented not only by students but by pro staff as well. I think it would be better to have it in one singular bill so that there's no confusion with the language regarding the pay level, and that way the people who have to implement it have the clear vision and understanding of what we want as a committee, if that makes sense.
Is there any other discussion on this matter? All right, we'll go ahead and adding a level 5 for the pay structure for chairs in the pro tempore, I'll just go ahead and say that that's going to need to be a bill. We won't include that in our SAS audit. Senator Saporito, did you have anything else to report for the audit?
I just had a question regarding the other levels.
Yeah.
Specifically like level 1. 7,000 distributed evenly over the 4 month. I might just be confused, but I believe the president of ASUM will be a level 1, but they're receiving 8,800. Is it specifically because they're not necessarily deemed an appointed officer, or why is there, what's the difference between 402 section 2 and 401 section
2? Yeah, so 402 is just dealing with like our chairs and like our pro tempore, pretty much. Those are officers that we appoint after elections. That first section, I think chapter 401, only deals with the president, vice president, and the senators, only the officers that are actually elected. So there's, I guess, two level 1 pay structures depending on if you're appointed or elected. Does that clear that up?
Okay. Yeah. Then just like one last thing for the specifically elected. It says for level 3 for senators, 3,917 over 12 months. Confused about that, because it says 5,000 in the candidates packet. Do we need to fix that, or is it a glaring issue?
Yes, that's something that I noticed as well. I do think we should look into adjusting that. I do know that later on in that chapter, there's language saying that the senator's stipend should be equal to, I think, 6 undergraduate credits, including the fees. So I think that may be where that 5,000 number came from, and then maybe the 3,000 whatever figure just wasn't updated when that change was made. But that's something we should look at. Did you have anything else to report, Senator Saporito?
That was all, thank you.
All right. Then moving on to Senator Vila.
Hey guys, so a lot of what I found for titles 3 through 5, like I posted them in the audit tracker. They're just my screenshots. I found a few more definitions that, like, you know, like might need, like, clarification. Like, I mean, like, we know, like, terms like conflict of interest, but, like, if somebody else was reading this, like, they might not. And there's, like, there's other ones I promised are in there. Also, this is, like, a little thing, but, like, I just noticed that, like, in all the SAS documents, like, if we have, like, Roman numerals, like, they're in lowercase, but they should be in uppercase. Hold on. And this is something that, I was on a call with Senator Saperito, and we were talking, just, like, about, like, different things. But, like, there's, like, some areas, like, in between sections that reference things in other pages or other sections of the SAS, and I feel like if it could be possible that we could add like hyperlinks to like in the text, like you could just like click it and then like it'll like take you back to the other like thing that it was referencing, just like for like, you know, ease to like accessing the information. I also found like a bunch of grammar errors, commas, spaces, like they keep forgetting the Oxford comma, so that's just like a thing. Here, whereas I also noticed during the pay grades thing, I know Senator Saperito already brought it up, but the Senate one was like kind of wrong, and that was pretty much all that I got, but I posted all to the tracker. They're like screenshots. Can you guys like see them when you like click them? Like, can you zoom it? Okay, but that's it.
All right, thank you, Senator Vila. Speaker Pro Tempore Moss.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I don't have a lot, given that a lot of what I've already noticed has been pointed out. My big thing is with, of course, Title V, the internship program. There's a lot of things, most of it is pretty up to date with curriculum and all that stuff, but there are just some things like the application process in the sections of each chapter for each internship program. It says that the internship should be opened by June 1st. That is not what we practice anymore, so that should be changed. Also with marketing, just given with now the size of our association and with the working that we have to do with like Inkblot, June 8th is also kind of a difficult thing to do, given that we're still hiring throughout the month of May. The internship coordination committee is not meeting until realistically the beginning of June. Just from my experience of this year alone, and I'm sure President Ogbach could attest to this too, and Director Dietrich, of course. But I just think making those look more like our current processes, where we release the application in June, marketing or in July, and marketing in July. Those are the small things I would probably change in that part. And then to offer, and maybe Director Aguilar Herrera can give me some historical context, but I think with the payout for senators, I believe that was increased back to 5,000 per ballot question, correct?
I have to confirm.
Okay, yeah.
The amounts,
yeah. Yeah, so that's something to keep in mind too, that we might need to update the language in, given just with a little more research of what happened with the ballot questions and stuff, because I believe it was a ballot question, but I can't remember at this time. But those are the glaring things. And then with the internship section, I will be working with Director Dietrich to codify and reform a lot of this language already. So that doesn't have to be in the audit if we don't want it to be, but we're gonna be like codifying the ICC and all that stuff. So if we want to include these simple language changes in the audit, I'd be open to that. Just wanted to let you guys know that a bill will be coming down hopefully soon, just reforming all the language in this section or this title.
Yeah. With that then, because of that legislation, let's go ahead and not worry about Title V for the purposes of this audit, since DEA Dietrich and Speaker Pro Tempore Moss, it sounds like they're going to be sort of revising that entire title. So we'll go ahead and leave that out of our audit and just let them take care of it, especially since this committee will most likely be seeing that legislation later on anyway. So we'll be able to make changes that we see fit. Senator Moss, was there anything else for you to report?
I don't think so.
All right. Vice Chair Holtelling?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. I have some footnotes. I already mentioned earlier with Title IV, I mean, compensation, with Chapter 401 and 402 would be those pay scales being off as references, and in Section 03, official codes by pay scale. I mentioned level one, the president, level two, the vice president, level three, senators. But then when you go down to Section 402, it almost rewrites the whole compensation with officials covered by pay scale in Section 03, Chapter 402. Well, talks, well, senators there are mentioned, and what was it? It is, they'll mention, well, the speaker will check, the speaker was mentioned in level one, and then you have the AG mentioned in level two. The president's not mentioned in this one, but when you go down to, which was it? Level one, the speaker shall receive the compensation in lieu of that of a senator or chair. Also within level one, even though if you go above, that would be considered the president's level. So I think just clarifying in each title that, you know, that levels are not changing just because the chapter changes, because they're still in the same title. So making sure that's clear. And then my other thing was Title III, Chapter 302. That one. It mentions a JPL in the statutes. I don't really know what that is. I'm assuming it means judicial rules of precedent. However, that is not an official document within our rules. It's not a document I can find on the ASN website, so I don't know what the reference saying, because and as far as I can find, I can't find anything that says that. So maybe removing those or asking, you know, where that document is, should be something for consideration. And then if you go up to emergency injunctions. Oh, emergency preliminary injunctions. It mentions, I don't know if this would be included in top audit or not, but adequate reasons to believe by inevitable harm would be done before the council can meet. But then if you read for a normal general hearing, it says that should be accepted as soon as possible hearing. So that kind of, I'm kind of confused about that. But if the purpose of an emergency injunction is to meet before everyone can meet, then a meeting should be held as soon as possible, and kind of conflicts there. So maybe they'll buy that. So we have an emergency injunction, expedited hearing, and general hearing, and they kind of all, if the council was to meet, you know, as soon as possible, then.
Yeah, thank you, Senator Hotelling. As far as the what you were just speaking about at the end, before we include that in a piece, I'll go ahead, or this committee should go ahead and speak with Chief Justice Arneson, as well as the rest of the Judicial Council, to be able to kind of clarify what those are, and then hopefully have their help in clarifying what that will be, since they, I would hope, are experts in what those different things in the SAS are in regards to their department. All right, did I miss anybody? I don't think so. Okay, moving on to me. I only had a few things. One of them was already mentioned regarding the senator, that level three pay not being accurate. The only other two things I had, section or in Title III, 301.1, the way that I read it, it's, I should just pull up the exact language, but it goes over the composition of the department and then says, Chief Justice, Senior Associate Justice, Associate Justices, and Judicial Interns. and then it says all appointed by the president. The president doesn't appoint the judicial interns, as far as I know. For the record, Senator Moss shook his head in agreement with me. So the president does not appoint judicial interns. So I think we should kind of adjust the order of that wording just to make that clear. And then 302.1, it goes over the individual rules, but only rule one actually is like, you know, like A, and then rule two is not B, C. So just adding in those like different designations just to be a little bit more organized in the document. And I also noted the conflict of interest definition. I haven't been able to find the other definition. What I understood of conflict of interest, it was purely financial. So that was the only thing that would have constituted that. But according to the definition, in several places in the SAS, actually, that is not true. It's a little bit deeper than that. So if we can find where that other definition is or where that came from, because I don't think it's in the Senate rules, and then we can kind of clarify that. Okay. But, yeah. Senator Hotelling?
It is in Chapter 002 of the Code of Conduct, Section 003,
Conflicts of Interest. Does that section not just say the same thing that's noted in Title 3? I believe that language was exactly the same. But yeah, regardless, when we're looking at a piece here, we'll be able to kind of clarify what that is. all right, before we end discussion on this agenda item, is there anything else any senators would like to bring up in regards to Titles 3, 4, and 5 of the SAS? We'll go Senator Hotelling.
I found my last point. It was on also with judicial. It mentions in Rule 6, which is odd because we don't use rules within the statute, so that would also have to be fixed. Administrative procedures in subsection 4 of that ruling. It mentioned the council advisor. I am unaware of an advisor for judicial.
For the record, it has been cleared up. Director Aguilar Herrera is the advisor for the Judicial Council as well. Senator Bolander?
Yeah, just a couple more things in Title 4. In the pay structure, actually, it's Section 3. Very minor, just Level 2. It's the officials covered by pay scale. And it still has Attorney General. Just want to know that we should probably change that to Director of Ethics and Compliance. And then very much a consistency thing in Level 3. It says for club commissioners in Level 1, there is Director of Clubs and Organizations. In Level 2, there is... Assistant directors of clubs and organizations, and then Level 3 just says club commissioner. I don't know if there should be some consistency with clubs and organizations club commissioner, or clubs and organizations just commissioner. Just a thought.
Thank you, Senator Berlander. Senator Hotelling?
Yes, to build off that last point, though, I just noticed in all of actually in Section 302, they don't have national. In Chapter 302, they only have rules. They actually don't use the word section, which is odd because that's not in any of the other, we don't use rules in any of the other parts of the SAS. So that might be something we want to, change just to reflect the coherence of the document and how it actually would be like Section 4, healing procedure with that.
Yes, so I believe that each of those rules are designated as like a subsection with a letter, or they should be, because Rule 1, I believe, is designated as like subsection A within that section, and then just the rest that didn't carry through. So that was a change that I also recommended, just to, rather than changing it from individual rules, just to make those be subsections. That way we don't. That way we maintain that language. Okay. Senator Hotelling?
And then my other thing was, if you read in Chapter 4, conversation, Section 05, grade level 3. It mentions a whole bunch of the fees that we have. I don't think that's quite needed to list, but definitely would be fine. I would update it to grade 1 to continue that.
Yeah, as far as listing out what those fees are, I think we need to look into when that change was made to be $5,000 from that $3,000 something dollar figure. Just because, like Senator Moss brought up, that change to $5,000, we believe was through ballot question several sessions ago. And so I'm not sure if that $5,000 actually reflects what the reflects what that section says of the individual fees and the undergraduate credits. Senator Moss?
Point of information, I did some research about that. In 2023, during the ASUN 2023 elections, a ballot question was placed on the ballot that stated, shall ASUN raise senator stipends from $3,917.20 to $5,000 per year to standardize pay in the association? And so that received it passed the threshold, which I think was 2/3 of the vote. So it was a ballot question that changed that, and this asked to 5,000.
Okay. So seeing as that change was made through a ballot question, I think within our audit, since that ballot question passed, that is the law. So within our audit, I think we can go ahead and remove some of that language regarding this is how much the senator stipend should be, update that to 5,000, and we can take out that language that lists off the different fees that need to be accounted for in that. Senator Hilton?
Yes, I'm pretty sure this was probably changed at last piece, but level 2 and section 03 mentions the Attorney General, so that would be something to change.
Yeah. As far as the saying Attorney General, I don't know. I feel like that may be the case throughout the rest of the SAS. I personally haven't noticed it say Director of Ethics and Compliance. So I think that update may just be coming from the legislative clerk once they're able to make that happen. Director Aguilar, or does the body give permission for Director Aguilar Herrera to speak?
Yes.
Yes, sir.
Correct.
Okay.
Legislative clerk, clear that up.
Awesome. Thank you. So anything that still says Attorney General, that will be that'll be cleared up by the legislative clerk, as well as any of those grammar recommendations. Those are things that they can clear up there as well. All right, before we close discussion on this agenda item, is there any other points any other senators would like to make? Senator Saperito.
I just one last thing. As Senator Vila mentioned, like hyperlinks, specifically within the emergency preliminary injunction, it mentions if there's adequate reason, if there's specifically four criteria is met, then an emergency preliminary injunction should be placed in order. It doesn't give reference to the four criteria at all. So, like, specifically, like, a judicial intern that might be reading the test might be like, what four criteria are they talking about? Then they have to go scroll back. Oh, it was mentioned a page or two ago. Just simply, like, putting a hyperlink back a page showing the four criteria that was briefly mentioned. Stuff like that, I think, would be very helpful.
I wonder if adding the hyperlinks would be something that I'm not sure. Is that something that needs to be done through legislation? Because if so, I'm not sure how we can put in a bill a hyperlink. Or is that something that the legislative clerk could add for us just without any legislation?
Yes.
Director Aguilar Herrera.
Thank you. Clarification. So you just wanted to link back to a section, or do you actually, like, how the index is hyperlinked, where you click it and it takes you directly to that section? That you can do.
Okay.
If you're actually looking to change the SAS itself and how it's laid out for that, you would need to up there.
It would just be hyperlinks. There's some, like, some sections will reference another area of the SAS. And so we're wanting to hyperlink, like, when it references that in the language, to hyperlink that back to the reference.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we would just want to know exactly from where to where, so exactly point A, point B.
Okay, so yeah, that's something we can make happen with the legislative clerk. Likely just for their sake, we can provide them sort of with the list to say this is where we want some hyperlinks, and then they'll be able to do that for us. Senator Vila.
Should we send like grammatical edits to the legislative clerk to make their editing a little easier?
That's helpful, but let's also get it on the record.
Okay. Yeah. So from this point on, let's any grammatical things you notice, let's put it on the record here. That won't be something we need to include in legislation, and then we can also compile a list to send to the legislative clerk just to make it easier on them. Senator Hotelling?
Yes. With that, I just noticed within that same judicial chapter, and section 8, and mentioned was witnesses and evidence. And they switch between two twos, so they actually spell it out in evidence in subsection 2, but then they write the actual number in subsection 1, and they do it. They put the number again in subsection 3 to be grammatical of what you're also supposed to spell it out. And so just fixing that might be something we want to do.
All right. Are there any other points of discussion on agenda item 8B? All right. Seeing none, we'll move on to agenda item 8C, the creation of SB 93, a bill to amend the SAS introduction in titles 1 and 2. I am actually going to seek a motion to postpone this piece, mostly because I didn't really get a chance to get a rough draft kind of put together. So we can delay that until the next meeting, just so we don't have to sit here and write a rough draft together. So with that, I'm seeking a motion to postpone agenda item 8C, creation of SB 93, a bill to amend the SAS introduction and titles 1 and 2 until the next GovOps meeting. So moved by Senator Moss. Is there a second? Second by Senator Hotelling. Those in favor of this motion, please say aye.
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 Any opposed, please say nay. All those abstaining, please say oy. All right. Hearing the chamber, these ayes have it, and this motion carries. So we will be delaying agenda item 8C, or postponing agenda item 8C until the next GovOps meeting. With that, moving on to agenda item 9, public comment. Is there any public comment at this time? Director Aguilar Herrera.
Thank you. I'm Luis Aguilar, I'm an associate director for the student government. It's a great work. This is really appreciated. And I'm speaking on behalf of legislative prepares to appreciate this feedback that you're giving to make your life easier and give you that nice working document that you can
keep. Awesome. Thank you. Is there any other public comment at this time? Seeing none, we will move on to agenda item 10, adjournment. I adjourn this meeting of the Committee on Government Operations on Monday, July 21st at 1:18 p.m. in the Frankie Sudo Papa President's Conference Room and on Zoom.